I'd like to call the August 16th meeting of Ways and Means to order. Can I get a motion for to block 308, 309, and 310?
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Discussion? Chair Bartels?
So I'm going to ask again for a motion to postpone for a month, and that's at the request of the executive's office actually this month in order to address some issues. I do want to alert everyone to the fact that the appraisal did just come in 15 minutes ago, so it was circulated to everyone. I haven't had the time to fully review it, nor has anyone else, so it's not fair to ask of that. And then also there's been some discussion, internal discussion about a couple other issues, and it's my understanding that multiple members of executive staff are unavailable and out today. So if we can postpone all three for a month, that would be my preference.
Any other discussion? All right, well, those in favor of the block? Well, good.
No, you guys do your thing. I want to discuss when the time comes.
The block.
So that was a motion to block. Sorry.
All right, I got ahead of myself.
Aye.
Opposed.
I'll welcome. So.
Okay. I can make the motion to postpone, but if you want to open it for discussion or whatever you prefer.
Motion.
I'd like to hear from the executive's office on why they'd now like it postponed.
All right, so motion open. Second.
Second.
Second, okay.
We haven't received the appraisal, so I don't have any time to formulate any. I don't even know what to respond to yet. So I think it'd just be fair to us in order to get a look at it, compare it to the appraisal that we had already ordered. Also, I don't have any staff. So the deputy executive in charge of this part and this project is out sick this week. So lack of resources at this very moment, and I still haven't received it. So.
I haven't either, because I just tried to access it, and I was told I'm not allowed access without asking for it, so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, just so you know, it came 15 minutes before this meeting, which I know was not my preference, but that's when it came in. So I haven't had a time to read it either.
Yeah.
And again, there are some other issues that are being discussed as it relates to the project as well, so.
Yeah, so, you know, I know that this is not anyone's fault in this room, or even the appraiser, that, you know, this took so long. This is going to be the third meeting that will not make progress on this very, very important project, and I understand the reasons for that. I did hear a few mentions of there being discussions that are happening. As chair of law enforcement and public safety, I've not been included in any discussions. I've had very little outreach from anyone about this topic. I would really like to be included in these discussions. I don't know if you have been.
I would like to.
Yeah, so it's, you know, this is a public safety issue. I realize fiscal concerns are definitely the topic at the table today, but obviously there are some trade-offs here. And to the extent that those affect public safety, I would very much like to be included in the conversation.
Are you any other discussion?
I could also say I would like to thank Planner Doyle. Yesterday I did receive a memo, which I'd been asking for the last, I think, 3 months, related to the selection criteria. So I also, because of the timing, haven't had a lot of time to review that, but I will. I appreciate it very much. Thank you.
So you want to make a motion to postpone?
Make a motion to postpone.
Second.
I'll second.
Discussion. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm opposed to postponing.
Okay. All right, motion carried. Resolution 343, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 9 for collection of village of property taxes as amended before you. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
I'll second it.
Second. Discussion? Chair Bartels?
So there's an amendment. The language, is there another language before us? That's the big thing. I know it'll have to be made on the floor.
Yeah,
but
it's on the.
It's in here. Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to just tell us what it is? If you have it.
It says, so it's delinquent village taxes existing prior to the commencement of enforcement proceedings by the county hereunder shall be the sole responsibility of the village and shall not be collected nor reimbursed by the county.
I'm assuming it's been reviewed by minority council as well.
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any discussion?
All in
favor?
Aye.
Close?
Thank you, sir.
Carry. I have a motion to block 407, 408, and 409 Elizabeth Street. Second?
I'll second it.
Some discussion?
Not on the block, but on the, yeah.
All right, all those in favor of block?
Aye.
Close? Motion?
A motion?
Second.
Second, discussion?
Yeah, so I appreciate getting the breakdown that I had requested in terms of the cost, you know, and especially because my original question was when we originally approved this, we were given a memo and it said that the price was about $750,000, $700,000 and that renovations were about $1 million and that my question really was, are the architectural costs a part of the $1 million or separate? That was really what I wanted to know and have the breakdown. So I will say, now that I have the breakdown, what I see was once a $1.7 million project is now estimated at $2.9 million to $3.4 million. So that's a double the price that we were told about in February. So I'm just wondering if you could kind of explain why this is estimated at twice as much as it was back in February.
Sure. So part of that has to do with obviously increasing costs from when we started the project. The other part is this is an estimate prior to doing any of the work. So the designer is going to come in and work with the group over the next several months to really spec out the project. This is based on their walkthrough. So when they're looking at this and they were submitting their response to the RFP for design services, that's what, when they just looked at the space, that's what they were estimating. But they haven't yet sat down with us because they haven't been hired yet in order to go through the details of what we're doing.
Sir,
so that's what
can I just add, can you just explain then the process that got you to the estimated renovations of $1 million initially?
No, I don't have that.
When did this start? I feel like it was like just within the last year.
Elizabeth career. Manor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was,
correct?
Within the last 6 months. It's August.
Okay, so the statement that prices have gone up is actually disingenuous because actually cost of construction has gone down. Materials, all those things have gone down over the last 6 months.
To be fair, it's not disingenuous. It was based on an estimate with DPW walking through and the pricing at the time and their knowledge of what the labor market would support. So I wouldn't say it's disingenuous. I said it was the best available information by our internal staff. And now we're looking at external. A designer who's looking at the space and their estimates are currently higher, it doesn't mean that's what comes out in the end. So we're not at the stage yet to begin to firm up those numbers in order to issue an RFP for actual construction services. That'll be months away.
Okay, so I think that then that's on my fault, and I apologize for saying it that way. Then I thought we used, I didn't realize we were using strictly in-house staff to estimate these costs.
That's how we always approach these things in the beginning while we're trying to get the ballpark estimate of what these are. And then when you hire design and engineer firms, they're the ones, they're the experts. They're going to go through every detail on this. We don't have that in-house expertise, which is why we go out for design. We're also going, and just because it says, like, these are the costs, we're going to be chasing HHAP money, which would fund 100% of what the overage is. That's going to be an ongoing process. Nate would have been here to speak to it, but he had to go to a doctor's appointment. So we are going to pursue funds that would cover 100% of the additional cost.
Okay. Any discussion?
Okay. So that's not, that's just you wrote to be determined on this.
On the HHAP part?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a pretty involved process in order to go through that application. There he is.
Sorry. And then just, you have, okay, so,
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's for the architectural and the at 170,000. So I'm, you know, I recognize that the 2 to 3.5 million dollar the doubling and tripling the costs we can explore later. But it's really concerning that my simple question of whether the architectural cost was coming out of the $1 million or not produced a, you know, a 300% increase.
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to be a no on these resolutions for that reason, and respectfully, I understand exactly where Eve's coming from, you know, with this being just the first step in the architectural design. But having served in this legislature for quite some time now, I know that once we pass this resolution for the architecture and design, when the resolutions come through that are 2 and 3 times higher than the estimates, we're going to say, well, you already did the architecture and design. You already started the project. We have to see it through. You know, that's the line we get fed every time. So the time to start saying no is now, not later, to me.
I'll just echo what Red Legislator Rock just said. I was a no, I think, on the purchase of this property. I knew that was too low of an estimate. I said it back then. I'll say it again. This is a low number considering the amount of work that needs to be done there. So I'll be a no as well. Mr. Walter and then Rock.
I guess I would prefer if there's an opportunity, maybe as with another postponement, to really delve and get a better sense of what other revenue the executive's office truly expects to come forward, instead of having a TBA. I don't know what's involved in it, but I think that the more we can have this up front and laid out in this earlier stage would definitely make me feel comfortable. I don't want to say no to this one because I want it to keep moving forward, but you know, the fact that it increases this much and to not think that we're going to bring it up, you know, like, and not sort of address, I feel like a little paragraph saying, hey, let me just explain why in 6 months it's 3 times higher, but there's not even like the explanation behind it. And I feel like that's just, we deserve the respect of understanding that kind of increase.
I could support a postponement. I mean, you know, we've been postponing the Government Operations Center now for a third month because of our concerns about cost, among other things. You know, I was comfortable moving forward on that personally, you know, 2 months ago. And here we are going to make another postponement. I think that if we're going to start worrying about cost, we should worry about cost in a lot of these projects, not just one.
I could support a postponement.
Is that what you want, Legislator Fabiano?
Yes, I'll make the motion.
Well, you had your hand up before, so I just want to make sure that's what you want to address. All right.
Yes, I thank you, Chair, for seeing me. I just wanted to, I did prepare this budget, and I definitely wanted to respond the best that we're able at this point. I am, the postponement is only an opportunity to provide more clarity, so I don't see anything wrong with that. But I did want to mention that as far as, it sounds like there might be a question about the TBD on the Homeless Housing Assistance Program. And I'm sure we can flesh this out and provide a lot more on what's needed, particularly the application for the Homeless Housing Assistance Program is all online. So these documents are public with New York State. So that's a great place to start. But I would say that the design, the estimating, the DSAG with the architect and engineering will be something that HHAP looks for. So I just, it's really just providing that information at this point that I don't think we can avoid doing the initial pre-development work for that type of application.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Kelly?
Yeah, I was just going to say we're fine with postponement and getting more information, digging in, so I appreciate that. Thank you.
I was just going to say I don't think that anybody is suggesting that we don't do the architecture and design work and the deep dive and everything like that. I think the concern is getting too far into the project before we understand what the actual cost is, given that the estimated costs in the beginning when we were sold on buying the property were so much lower than, you know, 6 months ago than they are now. and there's a concern about what kind of led to them being off by so much. I understand, you know, building costs and everything like that fluctuate, but not this much and not this soon.
And I'd just say, if we pass the postponement, which I'm guessing we will, any work, you know, there's a whole note and caveats saying cost savings may be available. So, like, this would be a good time to actually get that number down, because that if you can, you know, I don't want to relive with the whole veterans. Like, why don't you get the price down now? And that would be great, instead of, you know, assuming we might.
This is a scenario where I would feel like the cost is actually lower when we look at it from the outside than when we do the deep dive on the inside, because a building like this has got to be filled with asbestos and lead paint and all kinds of stuff that we're going to have to remediate. And, you know, I remember when we were doing Sophie Finn for the Kingston Center at SUNY Ulster, you know, that looked really relatively easy on the outside, and then we started to get into the asbestos and the walls and the structure, and things became more expensive quickly. So,
right. So on that, can we see the details behind the amount when you get an opportunity, so we could see how those things are being addressed and priced, and we can have John look at it. Yeah.
Thank you. And I'll just say, you know, as a comment of something I've said numerous times over my political career, the statement that somebody else is paying for it just infuriates me to no end. It's still taxpayer money. I don't care which comes out of the front right pocket or the back left pocket. Right. It's still the taxpayers. We just because it's not our money, our being the county, doesn't mean we should be not watching how much we have to spend. We shouldn't pay a premium for something just because it's not our money. And I just don't like hearing when we say, well, somebody else is going to pay for it, so don't worry, we can pay extra for that and just not care about it. It's got to come out of our pockets in the end. So.
Also, famous last words are, we are confident that.
Jesus. So you still.
So I you know, agree we shouldn't pay a premium, and at any point that we shouldn't, you know, that we don't have to. But I will point out that for those programs where it's a program that we can participate in or we can not participate in, it's not as though that program isn't going, that those funds aren't going to be spent on that type of program. It's just whether or not they're going to be spent in our community on that type of program. No, I understand that's not what you're saying, but just for everyone listening at home, that if we don't take advantage of all of these opportunities, it's not as though it's not taxpayer money, but it's taxpayer money that's going to be spent somewhere, and we want it to be spent here. So I support aggressively pursuing those opportunities. Right. And I know that others here do as well, perhaps you as well.
All right, any other discussion? All right, I forgot if we made a motion to
We have respond. A first, we need a second.
Second. For
second. Okay.
All
everybody.
Postponed. Post. So carry. All right, 420, authorized preliminary site preparatory expense for electrical vehicle charging stations. Can I have a motion?
I'll move it.
Second.
Discussion? Commissioner Walton.
I just have a question. I don't know which one of you, probably you. Why don't you start with that?
Sure. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Europa McGovern. I'm the Deputy Director of the Department of the Environment, and I'm standing in for my colleague, Nick Klaus. So I'm here to field your questions.
That's terrific. So I had a conversation. I was expressing the fact that one of the potential locations for these were going to be Newport. So I don't know if it's definite, but it had me bring it up to our mayor. So he pointed out that, and I, you know, this was a long time ago, so I imagine or hope things are different, that one of the things that an unexpected cost to the municipality was, once this was put in, the electrical costs and the upkeep costs are exceedingly higher than they thought they were going to be. Are the county expecting, when they put these in the different municipalities, that the county is going to cover that, the cost of the electric, or is it expected that the municipalities are going to take on that role?
Yeah, that's a really good point. So basically, the way the project is proposed and the way we think about it is, it involves, of course, the site prep, right? All the electrical work, the purchase and installation of the stations themselves, or the kind of two infrastructure, you know, construction pieces, and then the ongoing costs, which are the network service fees. That's off the charge point is off a New York State contract, something like $330 a year per port. But then, depending on how we could potentially potentially revisit the parking fees, the charging fees, because right now, basically, we have the fee set. It's no cost for the first 2 hours of charging, and then 50 cents an hour after that. So I think that that's a way that that can balance out in the long term, although I know that that conversation
so
is...
So the municipality is paying
the municipality is paying for the electricity and the network service fees. However, as proposed in the capital project, the Central Hudson has the make ready, right? So they have the rebate for the make ready, but then there's also the New York State zero emission vehicle rebates. So that will actually, those rebates will actually cover up to the first 2 years of electricity costs and network service fees. So the way it could happen is you can construct it and start operating it, and then, you know, figure out your pricing beyond that 2 years. That would be if you if you price it at no cost to the public.
Can I just clarify? Is the county going to work with the municipalities on making sure that that's all done?
So the proposal
or whichever
is only for county-owned sites, county-owned and hosted sites right now.
So in the county-owned sites, though, then the municipality won't be paying the electric, the county will be?
No, and I'm familiar with the village and town of New Paltz stations because my previous role at the Hudson Valley Regional Council, I worked with municipalities in this area. And yeah, that was a municipally, a town.
Okay, that's all I wanted to clarify. So the municipalities will not be on for any of these.
Absolutely.
It's all county.
Yeah.
That's all I need to know.
Okay.
Yeah, that was, it took a while to get there.
Yeah.
All right. Perfect. Thanks.
My question is evaporated now.
So your name now, Scott. Manager. Your green button.
I just want to point something out. I strongly support the vehicle charging, electric vehicle charging stations, but every time we electrify a building or electrify transportation, we've got to be putting renewable energy infrastructure in place, or we're going to end up essentially burning more fossil fuels, or burning it at a different place. And so I just believe that this action requires us to find an equal amount of new infrastructure to cover this. And you'll hear me say it repeatedly because I think it's absolutely critical for the global climate. We'll still call it a crisis. We could also be calling it, and probably should be calling it, an emergency.
Yeah, I agree.
I also don't like the idea that we got to pay Central Hudson for electricity. I'd love to see what we can do to have the public or municipality, however you want to look at it, or a group of individuals own the generating capacity, and then it can just be, we can divest from this really profitable company that's hurting our communities right now in a lot of ways.
Yeah. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, so the support coming resolutions and local laws. Is there, thank you. So Gallagher.
Thank you. Thank you very much for bearing with me last meeting when I didn't want to present. I didn't have anything ready for you, but I do today. I wanted to mention to you that sales tax, we have collected $85.9 million so far of $143 million budgeted, or 60% of budgeted. We're up 9.29 for the year over the same period as last year through the June final payment collected. No AIM or sales tax diversions are being taken in 2022, and the Office of State Controller issued a report today that shows our collections are in line with the rest of the Mid-Hudson, which was at 9.8% over last year's collections. We will be issuing a sales tax report in the coming days, so keep your eyes open for that. I also wanted to bring to your attention our occupancy tax. We've already earned 55% of our budget. And that is, you know, 1.58 of 3.2 budgeted. This only includes the first quarterly filing.
Oh, that's what's
so those people who file on paper, those are only the March through May collections so far. I think you will easily exceed your 2022 budget number within occupancy tax. I also wanted to speak about the investment audit. Since our investment audit, we've earned an additional $392,000 in interest, in part by moving $103 million to the deposit plus account. These numbers are as of July 31. If we had invested those funds with NYCLASS Prime, we could have earned an additional $95,000 over the same period. six municipalities in Ulster County have moved money into NICLASS funds since our audit, but we have not. Bank of Greene County right now is at 2.4% interest, which is great. NICLASS Prime is lagging a little bit, but they're going to jump above them. They kind of leapfrog each other. And the point of our recommendations really is to create flexibility, higher earnings overall, and diversification by choosing the right investment vehicle. On bank reconciliations, we're going to be issuing a bank reconciliation memo in the coming days to the executive that has some process-related issues identified and recommends tweaks to the bank reconciliation policy, which you all adopted, because we identified a three-year-old bank account that had been opened without our knowledge, and we were able to ascertain that the account had no activity prior to this year's tax foreclosure auction, which is what triggered our inquiry. But we want to make sure that the policy reflects that any account opened needs to be made clear to the controller's office within 30 days. We have a charter obligation to reconcile the county's bank accounts. And then lastly, I just want you to know that we had convened a Citizens Commission on broadband several months ago, working with the IS department. We've now mapped all broadband for the county. We just entered into a data sharing agreement with the New York State Department of Public Service, so that will be added as a layer to the county map. We've identified 1,100 plus unserved addresses in Ulster County. And why am I telling you this? I'm telling you this because it's money. There's going to be federal broadband infrastructure money coming next year. Those communities that have mapped it and have priced it will be at an advantage. Charter is telling me they are not going to provide us pricing unless we issue an RFP, because they want to make sure that those pricing numbers are kept confidential. They are considered proprietary, and they keep pressuring our office, which we have no control over, to say that the county is going to use ARPA money, which would probably not be my recommendation given this other money that's coming, but you probably will see in the coming days or weeks more work on this. You can access the map on our and the unserved addresses on our website, so please do that if you're interested or if you have constituents in your district that are not receiving service. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. In terms of the mapping, and thank you for undertaking that, it's very exciting. How complete? I mean, do you think there are outliers that we were unaware of beyond those 1,100 unserved?
So the process for the mapping was literally town supervisors with highlighters.
Yep.
And then we put the maps out for comment through town halls and libraries.
Okay.
And school superintendent's offices. And we got some feedback where some of the maps were wrong, you know, and we adjusted those. So it's after all that work was done, we worked with IS to pull out the addresses that were unserved according to the map. I think it's pretty robust right now, and I think it is going to match New York State's numbers quite well once we get that layer on the map. So I think it's pretty darn good. What we didn't want is what the old map was, which was a state map, and it showed if there was one home in the census tract served, they showed the whole tract is served. And we knew that is not the case, especially for areas like Denning, Hardenburg, Shandaken. There are actually 14 municipalities in Ulster County that have some unserved addresses at this point.
Great. And do you have that in... You said we could go...
You can pull it down as an Excel spreadsheet if you want.
Do you have it as a report as well?
No.
Okay.
Nope.
So again, do you have a percentage of households that are not being served in the county?
I don't, but there's 85,000 housing units in the county. And I can't tell you that all those addresses are houses.
I got you. Some could be vacant land.
Yeah. Some may be commercial structures. Some may be... Yeah, I'm not... 100%.
Not very successful.
That's
they don't
a great
have broadband
question, though, Legislator Cahill. I will work to ascertain that.
So the 1,100, is this like a black white, or is there a black white and a gray? Like there's some who have access, but not really access. So
this is
we assuming
cable fiber. This is not DSL, Starlink. We are not including you. This is literally cable fiber mapping because federal broadband infrastructure dollars will only fund cable fiber.
Got it.
Yeah.
It's access, not participation.
Yeah. Right.
However, let me just say, this Citizens Commission we convened is looking at the financial access issues and is putting together resources on financial support for households that can't access it, and we're going to be doing more work in that area to kind of ascertain, you know, you can be in Kingston, but if you can't afford it, then
right.
What good is it to have it there?
Sarah?
Can you explain the part again about Charter and their role in all this?
So Charter, right now, Spectrum, Time Warner, as it used to be formerly known, controls the majority of cable fiber in Ulster County and has franchise agreements with all the municipalities and also, and in fact, I should note, we've started to collect cable franchise agreements. I did this with Planner Doyle years ago, but we've done it more recently, and we'll be making those available to towns who are negotiating. But it is likely they will be the party that wins a contract. However, I'm not wedded to them, and I don't think any of us should be. Ultimately, when we can ascertain, you know, how much funding is available and what groups we have to jump through to access those federal funds, I think we'll put it out to bid and see who comes in the best and the cheapest. But right now, unfortunately, they control, you know, they are a monopoly for all intents and purposes within Ulster County.
So I just want to say that the controller's office has done a really good job in terms of following up with respect to broadband. There is, however, another mapping source that's out there, and the state has done a survey of mapping sources that are out there, and that link is out there as well. And it's a little bit different. So it's actually identifies more locations that are not served, around 2,200 or 2,400, as I recall, and that does it in clusters for you. So if you look at the map, you can look at it in a macro scale and find out how many in a particular area, and it also gets down actually to the structure. It'll actually map the structure that doesn't have service. Mm-hmm. So we've taken a quick look at that map. Mm-hmm. The other thing with respect to affordability, there is funding under the American Infrastructure and Jobs Act program to essentially provide rebates to individuals that are meet low and moderate income standards. If you go on the Spectrum website, you'll see that. We've provided access to that. It's about a 30. It actually, it's really good to know now because people are going back to school. It also provides funding for laptops for low and moderate income individuals, and it provides up to a $30 a month rebate for their internet service that's out there. And we provided that link both to the executive office. I think we provided it. If we haven't, we will. To the clerk of the legislature, and also to individuals in school districts, as well as to the municipalities, the supervisors and mayors. That link is out there. I'll share it with the legislature if you don't have it.
Please.
So that map, that state map, is going to be shared to the county as a layer. It will be in the layer on our map within probably a week or two.
Can you layer other socioeconomic status factors with that so that we can see whether there's other disparities associated with these gaps?
You can, but I think what it's going to show you, it may not show what you're interested in getting at, because it's not going to show who can't afford it.
Yeah.
It's just going to show where it's physically.
Right, although
on the polls.
I just wonder whether its physical availability was at one point motivated by who lived where.
It's density. It's houses per mile. Yeah. But I would love to do that. That would be very interesting to see. Like, income, is that legislative?
I guess that would
be
a race. You know, I think there's a few factors that it would be interesting to see if a certain population's age, you know, are typically underserved.
From the PSC, are you working with?
Valerie...
I'm familiar.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, she worked for the town when the town of Worsing went through the study for who had access.
And actually, your councilman, Paul Tezzolino, was on the commission. He was very active. What we did is we basically recruited the loudest, squeaky wheel on broadband from every county and put them all together. And interestingly, they didn't know each other prior to this, so I think there's good collaboration.
It must be a noisy meeting.
Yeah. I will just say from my experience with the town of Worsing, the worst part about this, and you mentioned it before, it's monopoly. If you look at townships that are to the south of us, and if you look at ones that are far north that have large cities within their townships, they have multiple internet and cable providers. Where they don't have that, not only their speeds are faster, their prices are up to 40%, in some of the cases, 40% lower than the cost of Spectrum is to our residents. And it's all because there's competition. There's not a sole proprietary franchisee that gets that license. And I think Worsing is finally looking to do that on their next go-round when their contract is up. They're finally looking to give opportunity to multiple internet and cable providers.
And there are actually competitive fiber companies laying fiber right now in Ulster that will be redundant. I think they're starting with the town of Ulster and moving towards Saugerties. But it's not going to fix the last mile problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, we also know that Harvard Telephone Company is laying fiber down Route 28 all the way to Stewart's. So there'll be another provider in the 28 corridor at least.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's going to improve, I think, in the next 5 years. It's going to be dramatically different.
Just as an update to the occupancy tax, we have a meeting Monday?
Tomorrow.
Even sooner than I thought. So we're moving forward again on that. Then nothing else? Can I get a motion to adjourn?
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Close. All right. Thank you.
Hey, John. What's next?